Michael Vick a starter. He obviously had a lot of support in the locker room. A lot of guys played with him before. How has Nick taken over this role, not only as a quarterback, but the leader and taking command of this team?
I think our players understood the situation, you know, and that I think it's part of what we talk about. There's competition all the time, and that, you know, if you have the opportunity to go out there and, as I say, kind of put your resume together on film and on the field where everybody gets a chance to see it. And I don't think there's anybody that questioned, you know, the level that Nick's playing at right now. So I think, you know, he's the ultimate teammate to begin with. I think how Mike has handled it with him, the two of them together, they want what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think it's made it an easy transition. Or at times it can be difficult, but I think because of how those guys have handled it, I think it's made it really easy.
Do you have an update on Roel Wolf?
I do all the injuries in the afternoon after this, so I don't have anything. I don't know where Earl's going to be. He's the one guy going into the game. I don't know if he'll be back this week. I'm really not sure.
How about Mel? Did he suffer from concussion?
I don't know the exact thing. They said he got hit in the head, so I'll get all that this afternoon, so we can talk about it tomorrow.
Now that you look at the fourth quarter, is it just execution? Is it speed?
It's a combination. You know, we actually had four drives in the fourth quarter. First one was a six-play drive. Next one was a five-play drive. Next one was a six-play drive, and then the one to finish it. But you know, we're moving the ball. Then we get a penalty. Or at one time we had a miscommunication up front and two guys went the wrong way. And then all of a sudden, you know, on a second and five turns into third and nine. So now you're playing backwards. You know, it's all in the little things. But it's part of being a real good football team is you got to learn how to finish games. So something we got to continue to work on. Like everything, there's got to be things to work on every single week, and that's certainly something we'll really address this week.
Do you think it's a different case than what we saw against the Redskins when the offense also had some?
It's all different, and I think what happens is everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run the ball, so they're playing zero coverage. You know, if you do throw it and it's incomplete, you stop the clock. If you run it, even if you don't gain a yard, you're still running 40 seconds off the clock. So there's a kind of a catch-22 there, but people aren't playing the normal defenses that they normally play in the first, second, and third quarter. They're putting an extra guy in the line of scrimmage. If you bring an extra tight end in, they're going to bring an extra guy. So they're always going to have two more than you, one for the quarterback and one for the extra player. And that's a difficult situation to run the ball against. So the answer is easy. It's, hey, throw it. But if you throw it and it's incomplete, the clock stops. So it's, you know, kind of that catch-22. But I would like to every week be in that situation because that means we're up. So.
Chip, Jake has a 70-plus completion percentage in the red zone. What was the thinking behind putting Brad in on the six-yard line?
I know we on first down? We thought we were going to have a successful play. I mean, he just dropped the snap. I don't think we weren't taking the ball out of Nick's hands or, you know, we score on that and everybody's like, boy, what a great play. You know, if you don't score, it's what a stupid play. So what a stupid play.
Can you explain the difference between what that play was and what the Wildcat is?
The Wildcat is a formation. It's an unbalanced line. It's an extra tight end in the backfield. There's usually a wide receiver running fly motion. So now you're running. Are you running an outside run play? Are you running a power play? Sometimes they got a reverse off of it, and that's a whole nother package. If you want to research it, David Lee, who probably brought it to the NFL when he was a quarterback coach for the Miami Dolphins, brought it into the league. He ran it at Arkansas with Darren McFadden, where it's really kind of started. They're doing it at the Jets now because David's there, and that's the true Wildcat that Ronnie Brown ran when he was there. And, you know, that's a whole other thing. I just think when someone besides a quarterback takes a snap, it's Brad was playing quarterback, and Nick and Brad just switched positions. We were in a normal formation that we normally run. So,
learning how to run an efficient offense without the up-tempo late in games, is that still something that this team is working on?
No. I mean, we're always working on it, but I don't think, I mean, you look at what we did in the Green Bay game and you look at what we did in the Tampa Bay game, we're capable of doing it and we have executed. And two games we were very successful at it and two games we weren't good at it, so.
With your mentality and you're running the ball, but the whole game or most of the game, if they show you that it's easier to pass it with what they're doing defensively, doesn't your team kind of get out of some kind of rhythm? Isn't there a rhythm that makes you successful to score points where you don't worry about the clock? You just, at the end of that game in Green Bay, the end of the third quarter, I want to score points.
Yeah, we're in the third quarter, though, and we still needed points at that time. There's a point in time when I think there wasn't anybody in the stadium that knew what was going on, you know, and that's why Arizona had everybody within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, you know, and that's part of the deal because if you don't run clock, that there's a catch-22. It's easy to say throw it, but if you throw it and it's incomplete, then the clock stops. So then you don't have to use that.
Thinking means you're going to complete it if you throw it.
Yeah. Well, I wish if it was just positive thoughts all the time, then we would score 1,000 every game. So I don't think it's just what our mindset is. I think you still have to execute it and give them credit. It's a very stout defense that, you know, when it's a one-dimensional game, it's easy to defend a one-dimensional game, but it's also, you know, certain situations. That's why I called the pass on the critical down inside 2 minute, you know, and I knew Nick was going to make a great decision on it. And, you know, we were trying to release our tight end into the flats and he got grabbed. And so either they grab him and we got a penalty or we're going to get him into the flats and we had a chance of converting there. So
Brandon Graham and Trent Cole seemed like they had their hand in the ground and it looked like a traditional defensive end spot. I know they've done it previously. Did they do it a little more in this game?
No, I mean, that's just our nickel package is a four down package. So we've been doing that since day one.
McGran had two sacks and 13. I think he only had 13 snaps. Can you talk a little bit about his process that he's having? I mean, he hasn't played a lot, but he's kind of made an impact, even though he hasn't taken the majority.
He has, but I mean, it's him and Trent. So I think Trent's having a ton of success too. You got two guys that are playing really successful at that point in time. You know, in our right now in our nickel package, you know, Connor and Trent and Brandon are the outside guys, and you got Fletch and Cox, you got Fletch, you got Sed, you got Curry and those guys on the inside. So it's just really, we got, you know, he's playing in a position where we're getting production, so it's just a matter of rotating those guys.
Following up on what you said on the radio this morning,
whoa,
do you expect Nick Foles to be your quarterback
this week? Yeah,
this season?
As long as he can stay healthy. That's why I've qualified it with all the time. That's the one thing, we, you know, I don't think anybody can predict the health of anybody. You know, you look at how many quarterbacks, and that's a reality. That's not a – how many quarterbacks have gone down this season in the National Football League, and it's a pretty high amount. And I think that's the one thing everybody's got to be understand when you're going into this thing. It's a very, very difficult game. They take a lot of hits. I understand why they protect the quarterback in this league because of the hits that they do take. And, you know, when you have a quarterback that's durable and can last, that's when you know you got a guy.
So you're saying even beyond the season, do you see –
he's a starting quarterback for the next 1,000 years. That's what I just said.
I'm surprised that you would say it.
Say what?
That he would be.
Why are you surprised at anything? Say whatever you want. I'm just telling you, in the National Football League, quarterbacks is a real difficult position to play. What do you think Green Bay feels like right now?
I understand that. I'm just
okay.
saying I'm surprised.
So that's how I answer the question. Because I've been asked the question 1,000 times, so I will say it. He's a starting quarterback for the next 1,000 years here. So, and if I'm wrong next week, then I'm wrong next week.
See, but there is long-term thinking involved in your job. You're not on a one-week contract. So.
Right now I am. I'm on a one-week deal. I don't think we have to do anything. I don't think Nick's going to come in tomorrow and say, I don't want to play anymore because I don't think you guys want me here 6 weeks from now. So the questions we get asked about it long-term, right now is not long-term. Long-term for us is this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. End of the deal. That's it.
Aaron Rodgers is the Packers quarterback long-term.
Right? How do you do on Thursday?
He's still the Packers starter.
All right, it's a semantics thing. Write whatever you want to write. I'm concerned with the Lions.
Chip, I know Nick had an interception called back because of the penalty.
Yeah.
As much as you put the ball in his hands and throw the ball, I mean, is it pretty astonishing that he doesn't have an interception?
I mean, I don't use the word astonishing, but I think it's a credit to him in terms of what he understands to do, and he doesn't really put the ball in harm's way. You know, sometimes there's been very rarely do you look at it and go, you know, I don't know about that one. You know, and sometimes we've been in games where, you know, we played in a Green Bay game. We had two balls hit us directly in the hands, and we dropped them, you know. But that's not a good decision by the quarterback on the other side, you know. And Nick very rarely does that. So I'm not astonished by it, but I think that's one of the reasons he's as productive as he is that he's really, really smart when he's got the football in his hands.
On the punt return there, what did you see when you watched the film?
One of their guys went to the ground. You know, and we coach it all the time, and Coach Phipp talks about it all the time. In the kicking game, if somebody goes to the ground, they're going to throw a flag. And they threw a flag, and the ball was still in the air, and it was a proper call.
How does Nick do from a leadership standpoint? Because I know he's only second year, but that position generally or naturally in that spot. So, I mean, over the last month and maybe even more recently, how has he done from that
spot? I think the leadership aspect of all that stuff is extremely overrated. I think that's people writing stuff down. The biggest thing you have to have is fellowship, and you got to have a bunch of guys that are all going to buy in. Because if you got 46 guys in your team and they're all the leader, which direction are you going in? 46 different directions. You know, I think everybody knows what direction we need to go in. I think everybody buys in. Nick is a leader by in terms of how he approaches the game and what he does. But I don't think Deshaun or Riley look at Nick and say, "Hey, Nick does this, so I'm going to do this." I think they're doing that too. I think we got a bunch of guys that are all on the same page that understand what the mission is, and it's a 1 week mission. You know, it's not a one-year mission. It's not a thousand-year mission. It's a one-week mission, and that's what we're going to focus and concentrate on. He does an outstanding example of doing that, and I think everybody else is doing that right now, and that's why we won four games in a row.
When you say fellowship, you mean like that everybody's just whatever, I guess your vision?
Yeah, I think we all have the same vision. It's the same thing. You can learn from, you know, I don't think it's a situation where And when you have a great team and not a good team, it's that you got a bunch of guys that understand what the mission is. It's not when the crap hits the fan, we got to look at one guy and say, hey, what do we do now? I think they all know what to do. And I think that's a credit to what this team is in terms of us moving forward. It's got a bunch of guys that understand what we need to do and what we need to get accomplished. And I think our defense is a great example of that. And, you know, we'll continue to move from that. But I keep seeing guys on a weekly basis getting better and better, and that's part of it. But I don't think – you know, you're not at a level where everybody just looks to one guy and says, hey, what do we do? You know, I think we've got a bunch of guys that can do that, and that's a real positive thing. So.
Hindsight being what it is, I mean, had Nick won the starting job, you know, out of training camp and everything, do you think he would?
We'd be undefeated. And I think everybody would cancel the season, we'd win the Super Bowl. So I don't look at things that way, and I don't mean to be facetious, but if you're going to say hindsight, then, yeah, we'd score 1,000 points a game, and no one would score on us when they'd be afraid to play us.
When you drafted Zach
Ertz, you mentioned his route running ability. It seems like we keep hearing that. What exactly does that entail? Why is the guy a great route runner, and why is he maybe perhaps?
I think, number one, it's athletic ability. Can you get in and out of cuts and suddenly and transition? And I think that's one thing with Zach for such a big target. He's kind of deceptive. He's deceptively fast. He doesn't look like he's moving as fast as him, but all of a sudden he's right on top of you. I think he can change direction very quickly, and I think what you're seeing now is that things are starting to slow down for Zach, and it's really fun to kind of see him all of a sudden, you know, plays that he missed earlier in the year, he's starting to make now. You know, that catch he had on the post route from Nick that Nick threw, and the DB made a great job undercutting it. Nick threw a perfect ball, but Zach came up with it. You know, we had dropped that earlier in the year, but he actually made that play in practice on Thursday. So it's positive to see him getting better and better, and he's starting to develop confidence, and he's really starting to grow. And we hope as this continues that, you know, it's because he can be a tough matchup, and that's what we were hoping when we drafted him, is that, you know, if you're going to put some linebackers or some smaller safeties on him, hopefully that's a situation we can exploit.
Your Oregon defense has created a bunch of turnovers. The same thing for Billy Davis's defense when he was in D.C. and other spots now, mm-hmm. this one. Is there a common thread there, or what goes into?
Yeah,
that?
I think there's some similar concepts that they're doing that we did when we were at Oregon, and I think because Coach Az is here, you know, and kind of what I feel about defensively. But I think Billy's done a really good job. I think a lot of times when you don't have to devote that second safety to the box, that he can see the football, and now they got a better chance to break on footballs. And when you can cause a pass rush with four guys and get to the quarterback a little bit, now we got guys who have eyes back to the quarterback and can kind of locate it. If you don't let the quarterback get his feet set and feel real comfortable back there, he may throw one up or serve one up for him. And Billy said it all along. I felt as our defense continues to understand the techniques and what we're trying to do, that they're going to come in bunches, and they're starting to come in bunches, which is a positive thing for us. And if we can continue on the offensive side of the ball, you know, to continue to hold on to it, and our defense continues to create it, when you're in a plus situation, you got a really good shot at winning on Sundays.
You've been fortunate injury-wise, or is it more of what you expected from what you designed your sports science? Well, or is it a combination?
I think it's a combination, because I think a lot of time there's, you know, you break a bone, you break a bone. I don't know if there's a science behind breaking a bone, you know. And so there's certain injuries that it doesn't matter how fit you are, how trained you are, that if that happens, that happens. But I also think there's some little things that I think we do on a weekly basis here from a training standpoint that I think has benefited us. So, you know, we'll continue. But it's not something where we can say if all of a sudden two or three guys get hurt next week, you're like, aha, you guys were wrong. You know, it's not. I think we're doing the right thing. I think our team, I feel like when we go out in the field on Sundays, our team is fresh. You know, we've got an understanding of where they are. I think they're in good shape going into week 13 here and getting ready to go play a really good team. But I think there's something to what we're doing here.
Jeff, your run defense pretty consistently this year has gotten better as the game has gone along. You've faced some good backs. You've maybe made some plays early, but in the second half they really haven't as much. How much of that do you think is halftime adjustments with your staff, and how much is just having that depth on the D-line and being able to rotate guys in? And
I think it's a combination of all of them. I think the depth helps, but it's not manufactured depth where we're just going to throw a guy in. And we got guys that can play, you know. When you bring Cliff in or Damon in, guys like that, you know, it really helps. And I think it keeps Fletch and Sed and Benny Logan and those guys a little bit more fresh because they're not playing as many snaps as the guys they're playing across from. So I think that's a combination of it. And I think our staff does a good job of, you know, once you really realize, and that's what's kind of going on each week, is what their game plan, how it unfolds, this is what they're trying to do to attack us. I think our coaches on the defensive side of the ball do a good job of making adjustments.
Is the way that Barwin can set the edge and force guys back inside, is that kind of an unsung part of your run defense? Did you see that a lot in Houston?
Well, it's what that you have to do in that base defense. If you're a 3-4 outside linebacker, number one is rush the quarterback, number two is set the edge, and then number three is coverage. But, you know, to make sure that the ball doesn't get outside you, you need to have some guys that can really set the edge. And that was some of the things that Trent was doing earlier in the year that kind of go unnoticed. And I know some people had some questions because, well, he doesn't have many sacks, but he was still pressuring the quarterback and still setting the edge. And I think the key to your run defense is if you have two outside linebackers like Fletch and Trent that can – I mean, like Connor and Trent that can set the edge, it's always a positive for you in the run game because you're keeping the ball hemmed in, so it's not getting outside of you. So.
What's the key? Coach, is it just the leverage that, against
the It's guy? Everything. I mean, the athletic ability, technique, what we're trying to get accomplished. But there's a lot of different things. But those guys are really good at it. So, thanks.